and welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I'm Clayton, joined by so many of us who are a little rusty apparently for Under the Bus here. Joined as pretty much always, Merge, how you doing?
Hello. It's been since the Rust trade, since we've talked, hasn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And preseason literally starts on this upcoming Sunday, which is bananas to think about. But yeah, it's been a long time. We're also here with Alan. Alan, how are you doing, buddy?
Hi, guys.
Merch did not forget Alan this time.
I know. I'm shocked. It's insane. It's insane.
I will never forget you.
Sure. Say that now. You know, like 20 podcasts later.
The other 19. It was one time.
It snowballed
in the vest.
One time too much.
Thanks for having me on, Clayton. It's always nice to be back on the Under the Bus podcast.
Well, I mean, as you know, you're pretty much already like
a member.
So you're always.
It's like ingrained, burned into my brain at this point.
I appreciate that. But also, Clayton, I want to thank you for allowing me onto the podcast again. It's been too long.
Yes, there it is. We're back. It wouldn't be a podcast in the last like 5 or 10 if Alan didn't say that. So
that's true. And lastly, we got the man himself, the sociopath of Lakers Twitter, Nas. You're an asshole, but you're our asshole, and we love you for it. Nas, how are you doing?
That's the best compliment anybody has ever given me in my entire life, man. It's like, it pretty much shows how sad my life is, but it's cool. I love it, baby. Yeah. Thank you.
might be one of the worst human beings ever, but we still love you. Bottom five human beings.
Oh yeah,
apparently. Bottom five. Oh right, I forgot about that. Bottom five human beings.
Like just right above Stalin. You know, right above Stalin is like
it goes Hitler, and then like Mussolini, and then Stalin, like Donald Stalin, Napoleon, and
Genghis and Khan, Nas. And then me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fantastic. All right, as Merge said, we have like 5 days before preseason, which is completely bonkers. Crazy. We've been wrapped up on the Direct Snap podcast talking about football like nonsense. Totally even forgot that training camp was even coming up. It's just unbelievable. Anyways, media day was for a lot of teams, and we found out just how incredibly stupid NBA players are. They are incredibly athletic compared to you and me, and they are much better at basketball than you and me. But goodness, it shows that some of them went to, you know, SEC basketball, which means like they didn't really have to go to class at all. Alan, as like the resident microbiologist and vaccinator, like researcher, excuse me, I would like to.
So, where to start? Like that's the main question, right? Do you start with Mr. Irving in Brooklyn, Mr. Isaac in Orlando, Andrew Wiggins, Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma's comments,
Devin Booker,
we'll get to Devin Booker because his is all the way fucked up. Like, for those of you that don't know, I've not really been active on social media the past like 8 or 9 days. And that's because my mentor in basketball passed away. He was 55. He was a healthy man. He contracted COVID, unfortunately, just before he was due to get the vaccine. So, yeah. As Nas knows, I was very outspoken, and you guys know as well, playing Merge. I was outspoken about it anyway, but I tried to keep my opinion to myself. Because I didn't want to offend people. Now I just don't give a shit, right? Like, when you have a death like that with someone who I talk to at least once a week, it really hits home. And, I want to start with Andrew Wiggins first and Kyrie Irving, because those two, I think, are by far the worst. especially Mr. Kyrie Irving. Like, like, please, 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 whoever's listening to this, do not get this misconstrued with me criticizing all of Kyrie Irving. I'm not. He's done some magnificent work in social justice. I just want to say that before I continue on my tirade. Kyrie Irving might be one of the most, I don't know how to phrase it without like being really, really harsh.
Kyrie and selfish?
Might be one of the most reckless people in NBA history. Like, full stop. The lies and propaganda and BS that he's spreading, not just through his words, through his likes on Instagram, and we all know that Kyrie Irving controls his own social media, so we can't even spin it as him being like, oh, you know, that's my social media, man. It's not, it's you. Liking things that are like linking the COVID vaccine to Satan and just total mindless bullshit, right? Like, if it wasn't for people like Kyrie Irving, I feel like this COVID situation would already be somewhat dealt with. We'd still have it in the world, obviously, but it would be a much safer place to live in. The Delta variant wouldn't exist. All these variants would not exist. Andrew Wiggins is an idiot also, just from a monetary point of view, right? Like, I don't know about you guys. I'll throw this to you. Do you feel enough courage in your convictions that you just throw away $16 million?
Absolutely. I wouldn't. Not. Like, unless it was, like, truly my religion, you know, like obviously, Alan, you and I have talked about, you know, like, I'm Christian, obviously, you're Muslim, and, like, we love each other, man. Like, I seriously think of Alan as a brother. And that's, like, the only thing. But this isn't, like, a religious thing. I'm sorry, it's not.
Trying to get religious exemptions is a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, speaking of DeMar, that was some bullshit. when you got a former teammate in Rudy Gay sending you a fucking Pinocchio emoji.
Just, yeah, like, I don't know what happened with DeMar DeRozan.
He apparently got a religious exemption. That's the quote unquote word on the street, as they like to say.
Guess who also apparently converted to Islam too?
Probably
who? DeMar?
No, besides
Brad
him.
Beal. Brad no. Beal.
Derrick Rose.
Oh my word!
Why am I not surprised that Derrick Rose, obviously model human, right, is trying to
use a religious exemption?
Speaking of what Alan said about throwing away money, it was like pretty much the tweet that we had saw yesterday. I forgot what his name is. But I know he's a Wolves fan. He's on the timeline a lot. And he pretty much said that, like, he would try heroin for $15 million.
Yeah.
dude, they're not asking you to give away your firstborn or to kill a member of your family. They're asking you to keep others safe, which apparently is one of the hardest things in the world for a lot of people. So
can we touch on Bradley Beal's comments? Him talking about people's arms falling off.
Oh my word. Which is
not just
ever happened.
It's not just stupid, it's dangerous, right?
Oh yeah.
Because how many 12 to 16 year olds take what these guys say as gospel?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, look at all the Stan accounts that are on Twitter. I mean,
that's a University of Florida product right there, SEC basketball.
And it really pains me because I've been a Beal fan for a long time. Clayton knows this. I've been a Brad Beal guy for the longest time. Even when he had his constant injury, I've been one of his biggest fans. For him to go down this road like this, it's really, he deserves to stay in Washington. The report came out today that Rust told him that he should ask for a trade, and he said no. They deserve each other. The Wizards and Bradley Beal deserve each other.
Yep.
I'm very much in agreement. And you guys know I don't really get passionate like this about many subjects. I really, really like you not wanting to get a vaccine. I think Dame Lillard put it perfectly. And Nas, you were in this boat also, where, you know, you had to do your research on it, and I respect that. I really, really respect decisions like that. However, to like completely discard what scientists and doctors and all these amazing people who banded together and created these wonderful vaccines because you don't trust the time. And I understand with Black people in America, right? I just want to preface this. I understand why there is a lack of trust with vaccines and whatnot, especially 100%. Within the United States of America. I completely empathize with that.
I agree.
However, I would love to believe that in 2021, that we are past that, that we will inject Black people with different types of vaccines. If we're not, then we're in a much worse place in this world than I care to admit. And we're in a pretty shitty place. Like in England, we're running out of food right now. Like that's how bad it's getting. So I understand why there is trepidation among certain communities, especially within the United States of America, right? So I wanted to say that before I talk like in more detail. If I'm Karl Anthony Towns, and I'm best friends with a guy like Devin Booker, and I'm close with a guy like Andrew Wiggins, and he's gone through all that he's gone through, what the hell is he thinking right now? Like, what's going through his mind?
I wouldn't be friends with him anymore.
And I think Merge, you posted something about Ja, a little beautiful comment that Ja made in a press conference, and I'll let you take the reins here, just for me to like collect my thoughts a little bit.
Yeah, and it's a very simple comment. It really is in the grand scheme of things. It's a simple comment, but Ja pretty much said he got the vaccine early, as soon as he could. He has a daughter. He is traveling. He doesn't want to give his daughter COVID. It's really as simple as that. Ja isn't. I've grown to really, really love Ja. Ja seems like an incredible human as well. And just something like that, and it shouldn't be this like it feels like pulling teeth a lot of the time. It should really be as simple as what Jaw said. Jaw said that his daughter, he has a young daughter, he doesn't want to get her sick with COVID. It's really as simple as that.
I concur.
So just before we move on, I really want to make a beautiful comparison, because right now I'm studying biotechnology. That's one of my modules. And we are looking at genetically modified crops, right? And all the hysteria that came with that in the late 90s. It's a carbon copy. People have no idea what they're talking about. They read research from people who also have no idea what they're talking about. And that's where information becomes dangerous. So please, people, do not believe your Facebook videos unless it's a very reputable lecturer or a doctor or, you know, professor, something like that. Please do not believe those videos. If you're going to do your research, do it off university websites, do it off American medical journals, do it off the CDC, places like that. I promise
AKA
you those are the
not YouTube.
AKA YouTube, no. AKA not Facebook University either, okay?
That's it.
YouTube's wonderful. There is some brilliant scientific stuff on YouTube.
There's also
just please don't watch the Alex Jones shit.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you know, we've all been down that rabbit hole at one point. Let's not lie to ourselves.
If a website is trying to sell you some type of magic health thing, such as a horse dewormer, or you know something, you know, like essential oils, you're not in the right
place. Especially if it's Alex Jones, because he has literally his own meme dedicated to this.
Yes.
with the before and after pictures.
Yeah. On ivermectin, do you remember the thing going around that the vaccine makes you infertile?
Mm-hmm. Ivermectin
makes you infertile. Shout out to Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Yeah. outing her cousin's friend as having chlamydia or gonorrhea.
They're walking around like Randy from South Park with the giant balls in the wheelbarrow.
or to go totally off the rail, Aladdin, the pants that he wears in that movie, how like it, and then you like you take it off and it's just a pair of gigantic nut sacks.
No, I love how the health minister of Trinidad was like, I can't believe I have to do this, man. This is so ridiculous.
Same with that newscast from Trinidad as well.
Yeah, they were like, I can't believe I have to do this. But no, this never happened. We had no reported cases of what she's talking about.
Yeah.
literally zero.
It's just so stupid. Stop listening to celebrities. Start listening to scientists and scientists that...
What was it, conspiracy theories, man?
Like,
I really feel... Sorry to interrupt. I really, really feel for Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
Dr. Fakey, you mean?
This guy. On a serious note, this guy busted his ass for 50 years to get to the top of his profession. He is highly, highly respected in the scientific community.
Yep.
And we have idiots on TV.
Jonathan Isaac!
Essentially. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie's aunt? Was that his aunt that apparently spoke at the Players Union? Yeah.
And mentioned that Kyrie also calls him it. I am very disappointed. Like, I don't know how he's feeling. Like, it's a really horrible situation. But yeah, please get vaccinated if you can. If you want to do your research, by all means, hit me up. I will send you anything you need. For those of you who don't know, I studied biochemistry and I have a focus on virology, so I feel like I'm a little bit qualified to talk about this.
My
cousin knows someone who went to school who actually failed biology their sophomore year in high school. They told me that they actually know more than Dr. Fakey over here. Okay, they know. Okay, it's all a conspiracy.
But before we move on, because obviously we're not talking about this the whole time, I really do want to empathize with Carl Towns, because I cannot believe I can't even imagine what he is thinking right now. Yeah. But with the year and a half that he had, with all the injuries and all the death that he had in his family, it really he must feel like betrayed right now. He really must. I really sympathize with him, because Kat has all. Say what you want about him as a player or whatever. He's always seemed like an incredible person. Going back to the Flip Sounders stuff, like, that really solidified how I thought about him as a person. And for him to lose multiple members of his family, including his mother, his own mother, and to see his best friends not get this vaccine because they just don't feel like it or whatever, or they want to go with whatever selfishness. It all boils down to, essentially. It's unfortunate. I really sympathize with Carl Towns and anyone who's lost their a family member due to this pandemic. They must feel betrayed, especially people in the NBA family who have had to go through this. So,
I agree. All right. I know that we want to move on from all the COVID stuff. One last thing I do want to put out there is, I know, take what you want from Stephen A. Smith. He said, I don't know if it was on whatever their freaking show was called.
First Take.
There you go. I haven't watched that shit in years. Anyways, he said trade Kyrie if he ain't gonna take the vaccine. And honestly,
I agree.
If I'm Brooklyn,
they're talented enough to make a run without Kyrie. They really don't need Kyrie. Harden can be the de facto player.
Yeah, I honestly say, if he's gonna retire, fucking pull that bluff and just trade him for fucking spare parts at that point.
I was someone who said that they should have traded Kyrie for Harden. Honestly, I was on that train.
No, I agree. They honestly, like, that would be a move. I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna look into this. I am not joking at all. I'm 100% serious on that. If you have a player that is going to be that selfish, and for like Wiggins, and also I think it's the same thing in New York of can't play unless you're vaccinated or whatever.
Not allowed. He's not allowed inside Barclays Center.
Yeah. So
I thought he was on a Zoom call for the media.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, if that's the case, like, I want to see if he would actually do it.
And the other thing also is that, getting back to your point, Merge, that when those rumors were like saying like maybe you should trade Kyrie for James Harden, right? That's when he went AWOL and went to like his sister's birthday. And that's kind of a, like screwed up the whole thing. Like, and then you got the galaxy brain idiots who follow him. So, he did that to ruin his trade value so that he, so that Kyrie wouldn't be traded for James Harden so they could form the super team.
Remember when LeBron went to a clutch party and people made a bigger deal about that when he was vaccinated already than they did about Kyrie going to a birthday party with no masks on during the middle of the pandemic?
Was it a clutch party or was it
Space Jam? It was a Space Jam thing. Oh, it was a Drake party. That's what it was. But everyone was vaccinated who was at the party.
Yeah, everyone who was there was vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they made a bigger deal about that than they did about.
Yeah. Anyways, let's go ahead. I'm tired of talking about dumbasses.
Right. Yeah, let's move it.
We'll talk Lakers. We'll talk signings here in just a second. If you didn't catch that, LeBron is vaccinated. The Lakers are 100% vaccinated, or will be by the time preseason rolls around, or I can't remember.
Opening night.
That's what Palinka said. So,
AKA Bazemore isn't vaccinated just yet.
or Dwight,
yeah. So like these guys are going to be, they're vaccinated. It's not even a question. Like they've all gotten it. We don't have that issue going on like those teams.
All right. Yay Lakers.
Yeah.
On a serious note, the Lakers, the Knicks, the Hawks, everyone barring Devin Booker on the Suns. The OKC Thunder, Portland, I think, is another one of those teams that's fully vaxxed. All those teams, great.
Of the NBA.
Great job.
That means like one person, like one or two people per team haven't been. And I would assume most by the season will probably be there, except a handful of guys. They don't want to lose money. So, all right. Some signings have happened since our last recording. We're going to go over them kind of quickly. The first one we're going to talk about is the return of Rajon Rondo. Now, I have been on record on the podcast saying I appreciate what he did. He had a decent playoff run, better than what I expected. He had some good performances. He had some stinkers. Everyone has those. It's fine. If Rondo takes over the Jared Dudley role of barely playing any and is mainly there as the quote unquote mentor or like veteran locker room guy, I'm totally fine with it. That's a home run deal. Mm-hmm. If Rondo's getting even like true minor rotation minutes, that's where I have the problem.
Yeah. Especially with guys like THT who need minutes, and Monk and Kent Bazemore, and even Ellington who should get minutes over him as well. Kendrick Nunn as well.
I think I honestly have Rondo even ahead of Ellington. Ellington is the guy that I'm sitting. I'm gonna say that flat out. I know that Lakers fans have been wanting him since he left because he's an elite shooter. He's like a 38% shooter, which is good. Don't get me wrong, but people make him out to be as like a Kyle Korver level shooter. He's not that. And also, he's historically bad on defense.
Yeah,
one of these absolute horrible worst
defender.
I think like when guys are hurt, or you know your team is in a rut shooting, then yeah, you let him play a game or two. But he's not a guy I'm worried about him getting any rotation minutes. Mm-hmm. But Rondo, I worry Rondo, and I know you guys are all going to disagree with me, and that's fine. I don't give a shit. I am worried that Rondo will get like the legitimate backup point guard minutes, and then they're just going to go super small. And I actually don't mind going super small with the backups. We already know that Westbrook is going to get, 32 to 36 minutes a night?
Yeah.
I would probably lean towards 32 more than 36, but I would lean
actually more towards the 36. I think that's what he's going to do.
I think Westbrook will play more minutes than LeBron, and I have LeBron around 31 minutes, 32 minutes a game.
Which makes sense. Russell Westbrook is a historic regular season player, so I'm not totally against that.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up real quick how many minutes he played. 36 minutes per game last year. 36 minutes the year before, and the year before, and the year before. The last time it was 34 or less was 2016, 2017. He's playing 2 years ago, I guess, with the Rockets. He played 35.9. That's 36. He's going to be playing a ton. So I don't see him taking a huge break. But yeah, Rondo, if it's in that Dudley role, and he's talked about it apparently. I didn't hear the radio bit. If that's his role, and like here or there, he plays a quarter, you know, or, you know, 6 to 12 minutes or something like that, I'm fine with that. Where the problem is him playing 12 to 18 on a regular basis.
Basically, you just don't want him in the rotation.
Yeah, I don't want him in the rotation at all. Like, yeah, I really don't.
And, yeah, that's it. And that's reasonable. You know?
There are some people who, because I've been so focused on football, I was like, I need to, like, try and catch up on some basketball stuff. So, like, I've been trying to burn through some Lakers stuff, and it really seems like a lot of people think he's going to play some more minutes than you guys are. And I know, like, Allen has, you know, Allen's sources. And I'm not mocking that at all, Allen.
I'll just refer to the really great article The Athletic put out, the Shams and Sam Amick article from this morning. Rondo's there to be the Dudley role.
Yeah. And from what Vogel and Pelinka have said in interviews
from what Rondo said,
Rondo too.
Like my thing is there's also
Jovan Bruha said it as well.
We've also been talking, we'll get to it here in a minute, in a little bit, of AD and LeBron playing up a position. And I say, I will believe it when I see it. That's my thing. I will believe it when I see it. And until then, I don't see, like, because we've heard this type of shit for years of either AD playing up or, you know, guys taking a backseat. And I just... until it actually goes through, I don't believe it. I know I'm the pessimistic one. I get that.
Oh yeah.
I'm always the pessimist. I'm always the pessimist, but like I think
Clay, I understand your pessimism most times, but on AD playing the five and on Rondo playing minutes, you really shouldn't be.
No. I'm not against AD playing the five. In fact, that's my ideal lineup, right? Of AD playing the five, LeBron playing the four. That is, I think, the ultimate lineup. But as I think it was Mike Trudell on the LFR podcast said, that's a changeup. That's not the fastball. And I just don't see that being the likelihood. I just really don't.
But you see, I disagree. I think that is the fastball. I don't think that's a changeup.
I think it should be. I 100% agree. That should be it. We know the ultimate is LeBron at the four and AD at the five. I mean, but still, it's been now 2 years or two seasons since it hasn't really been two years. It's literally barely – it's not even a calendar year or just about a calendar year since the Lakers won the 2019-2020.
Yeah. Today is the day that they – made it past the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals today, last year.
Just bonkers. They still don't run a LeBron AD pick and roll enough. Like we've seen it like a handful of times in two seasons. It just astounds me. So that's just why.
So
like,
I've heard is that David Fizdale's had a lot of Fizdale's basically been a driving factor behind AD being willing to just play at the five permanently.
And we've heard that with Fizdale being an influence in Marc Gasol shooting more threes in Memphis as well. So and he was credited, I don't know how much you can really credit him in a Spoelstra led team, but credited being the space and pace, the person who started the space and pace and putting Bosch at the five on the Heat.
Well, yeah. Spoelstra credits him for it, so
yeah.
If Spoelstra's crediting you for it, then I'll give you the credit for it as well.
If that all happens, I'm really happy. And honestly, if that happens, my outlook or my pessimism, I should say, is much less. Mm-hmm. It's just if it's you know, that first, it's opening night, and then we see a lineup of Westbrook and what, Ellington, LeBron, AD, and DeAndre, then I'm just going to be like, oh my God. I just.
Spoiler alert, that's not happening.
Hopefully not. Oh, I mean, I just, like I said, until I see it,
well,
I'm just.
We'll see Sunday. We'll see, because, I mean, I know we'll act like Sunday. I know.
Season, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes, it does. The first is always, and more likely than not, going to be the starting lineup. The last 2 years of the Lakers, that's what happened. I think whoever they start in that, I mean, obviously LeBron and AD didn't really play much in the preseason, but the year before that, Avery Bradley started the first preseason game. So whatever, I think whatever we see Sunday will be the starting lineup. Whatever we see Sunday, I think will be the starting lineup we see against the Warriors on opening night. So
I totally forgot that. You're right. I think you're right on that. So I guess
And Frank Vogel will make it sound like, oh, we'll try some other stuff out during the preseason. He'll say that whoever will be that first lineup is going to be the starting lineup.
Yeah, and he's already been saying, they asked him, like, what's going to be your starting lineup? He's like, honestly, I don't know yet. We got to go check out what works and what doesn't. I mean,
and we'll talk about what we think it will be and what we want to be or whatever in the podcast. But whatever we see, it'll be. I think it will be.
I think the ones that you see are the ones that you see the most is going to be the starting one. I don't think that it's going to be like, okay, well, they started DeAndre in the first game, so therefore it's going to be that starting lineup. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be like, what did he use the most during the preseason? In my opinion,
like, I get that, and maybe that's the case. I just think it's going to be – I think I know what Frank operates with this sort of stuff, and I think whatever we see – I mean, he can prove me wrong with whoever it is. You know, he definitely could, but I would be surprised if that first lineup against the Nets on Sunday isn't the lineup we see opening night against the Warriors.
We'll see. I hope – I pray I am wrong, man. I pray I'm wrong. The next signing, obviously, we've already mentioned him a couple times. DeAndre Jordan. I swear to God, if they had signed DeAndre when he tried to leave the Clippers the first time for Dallas, I would have been so happy. So oh, yeah. Like 6 years ago, and now like it's
you're such a big DeAndre Jordan fan. I remember.
DeAndre and Nerlens Noel, my ultimate big men right there.
The other one's never happening ever. So
I know.
Nor do I want it to ever happen now.
I mean, you know,
at this point, yeah.
I still love Nerlens. Anyways, of that, DeAndre in his prime, my God, was just that ultimate. That ultimate role man, and he literally could defend some in space, and he was just absolutely gigantic. Now he's obviously like lost a step and a half, and I don't know how much he's playing. I think he's
more insurance for a potential Dwight or AD injury, I think, personally.
Yeah,
I think so too. He looked cooked last year.
I will say about DeAndre is if anyone can maximize washed big men, it is Frankie Smokes.
Yep.
And it's LeBron James.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simplify his role. That's it. You know?
If you can get DeAndre to have 80% of Clippers, DeAndre, you have a hell of a backup big.
And here's another thing too, like what they're using in the like the Nets defense was completely not good for DeAndre.
You gotta tell me a Mike D'Antoni assistant led team had a bad defense.
Well, not only that, the scheme just was like not good for him because it was switch everything up kind of scheme and go small basically. Like, you know, like it's not a big man's. It's not a fit for big men, but like, dude, like Frank Vogel turned Roy Hibbert into a two-time All-Star and a runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. Like, and when Dwight was here, he was excellent for us. His not that Dwight was already a great defensive player. Vogel maximized whatever he still had in him, and lo and behold, we win a championship. Right? I think that DeAndre coming to the Lakers would be a playing under Vogel is going to help him out a lot. I think he's going to, when he plays, hopefully, which is not going to be a lot, but like when he plays, I think it's going to shock a lot of people.
He was still, I think he was still in the top 10 in dunks last year too.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. Granted, obviously that's all he does, but if they can figure out some, if he can, obviously, I mean, if they can figure out him being able to do anything, I think that's what it's going to be. Again, I don't think he plays much. He might play here and there if Dwight's having a bad game or if AD or Dwight is hurt. I just don't see him playing that much. I think he's another veteran locker room sort of guy. I know KD loved him for that reason. So we'll see, but I just don't see him playing that much.
Well, AD and LeBron both really like DeAndre as well.
Yeah. And Russell Westbrook. A lot of NBA stars do love DJ.
They just think he's a really good human being, which is a great thing to have in the dressing in the locker. I almost called it the dressing room there, like we're talking about football in the locker room. I think that he's a fine insurance big. And
yeah, 100%. And there'll be nights where Dwight might not be. Dwight's 35, guys. He's old too, so
he'll get in foul trouble some nights, and you'll need DeAndre.
He might get thrown out of the game. He gets technicals all the time.
Oh man,
that's only under Doc Rivers, though. Under Frank, he did not have that many technical.
That's true.
I loved Dwight.
I still love him
with the Lakers.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that he came back for a third. I just wish he never left in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The final one that we're going to talk about is a move that I really like this move.
Oh my god!
I know.
I
know.
Clay outside the window.
Clay likes the moves the Lakers did.
Wait, what? I've been talking about the Lakers.
Even Nas is surprised.
I've been talking about the Lakers doing moves like this for I don't know how long, of getting that young potential guy, as two-way and then promoting him to anyways, it's Austin Reeves. He had a really good summer league impress. Apparently he looks really good in the LeBron player camp. We've heard that from a couple different people. But I'm happy with that one. He was on a two-way. I kind of wish they would do that with July. I know that they're probably not going to, because we'll get to that in a little bit, but I think it was a really smart thing to do to open up another two-way for what we're assuming is going to be Chandi Brown, which I really like that one as well. I like Reeves. When he was not Nebraska, it was this other one. Was it Northwestern or whatever?
Was
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah. Oklahoma.
Well, because he played
Wichita. He was at Wichita and then Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. I was thinking of another player. But, yes, okay, when he was at Wichita, Wichita State, he was like a legitimate shooter. And then when he went to Oklahoma, he was an ultimate creator and free throw guy. I think if you can get him to – and I don't think he's bad on defense.
No, he had some nice moments on defense in the summer league.
Yeah, one comparison I've seen thrown around by a couple different people, and I don't hate it, I don't love it, but I like it a little bit, is Kirk Heinrich.
Okay.
I don't know how much I agree.
Why? With because that he's one. White Clay? Is that what it is?
Wow. I mean, no, Clay. If he's a Laker and he was on a 2-way, he's Alex Caruso. Come on now.
No. he is not
too soon.
He's not.
Sorry.
He is not the defender that Alex Caruso is.
No,
he doesn't have his athleticism.
minus the athleticism.
No, he doesn't have the athleticism. That's
I might say that he's better offensively skilled than Caruso for sure.
Yeah. And with the Heinrich comparison, I think he's a better creator than Heinrich was. But yeah.
So I don't necessarily hate that one. It was an interesting one. If you could get like 80% Heinrich from a two-way guy, undrafted two-way, and then now your 14th man. Supposedly, we'll get to that again in a little bit. I think that's a home run. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like that move. Did anyone else want to add anything to that one?
Just that the second year is a team option. If he doesn't pan out, he doesn't look good in the G League or whatever, they can just decline it. I don't see that happening. It's cheap. They probably just pick it up again, and if he looks good, he might get some minutes next year with some guys potentially moving or not coming back, especially if, you know, Rondo ends up retiring or whatever. If Kendrick Nunn shows out, he gets a better deal from someone, or Malik Monk, same thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I like it. I like that move. I know, like, I'm a guy that loves those around the edges types of moves, but
now you like getting these young guys and building teams that way.
Yeah.
Like you're not really the kind of person who likes the free agent stuff, like getting the stars, and you know what I mean? You like building organically.
I do, but not more successful. I'm not a dumbass like David Griffin.
You're not Griff?
who played the piano for Zion. That dude is gone.
Oh my god. I want Zion to leave so bad. I love Zion so much. I need him in a Knicks jersey. He's gonna be a Knick.
I need Brandon Ingram out of there, man. I just do. I feel like he got his bag, and now he should just be like, screw you, and just
get him to like the Grizzlies or something. Man.
I don't want to hate the Grizzlies though, because like put him somewhere in the East. Put him somewhere in the East. Even though Memphis should be more in the East than the West. But anyways, I'm guilty of that organic team building and whatever. I don't care. All right. Oh, we just lost Alan. He'll get back here in a minute. Anyways, we've already talked.
Really quick thing. What I really also liked is that, but you know, when LeBron and Russ went to Vegas to check out the Summer League game, they were apparently giving out pointers to Austin Reeves. So I guess they had him like already like in their sights since.
And the same thing with the mini camp in Vegas recently too. They've had him doing rookie stuff too, and they've been messing around with him, which is a good sign, I think, as well.
Yeah, it's a hell of a good sign, man.
LeBron and Russ and AD, they've been like having him do rookie stuff.
So, if they're fucking with him, that means they like him. So I like that. Yeah, I like that.
And, while I don't necessarily think those guys are the greatest talent evaluators, you know?
Right.
Like, LeBron, you know, one of his greatest issues is, you know, draft guys. You know, like, Ben McAdoo was great, and Shabazz is great, and, yeah. Anyways. If they're messing with him like that, that's a good signing. I definitely agree. All right. I know Alan's going to have to hop in once his update is done, but I'm going to go ahead and move on to the thing that we were already kind of talking about, is AD at the 5, LeBron at the 4, or possibly playing someone else at the 4, like Trevor Ariza or something, like that. You guys apparently think that it's happening. Am I wrong?
It's happening. I'm definitely not. I was a little pessimistic about it. I wasn't like you, but I was a little like, okay, let me see it. But it's been coming from so many sources. I think Shams is a clutch hookup. At this point, we know that clutch gives Shams a lot of information. So I'm pretty confident in it. I think now it just comes down to who is that fifth person going to be with. I think Ariza is pretty locked in to that 5. If AD's at the 5, it's just a matter of who's going to be that 2 next to Russ.
I think that's a big question. We'll kind of talk on lineups and rotation stuff. Alan, we're talking now about AD at the 5, LeBron at the 4, or at the 3, and then like Ariza at the 4. I'm still obviously hesitant on believing that. I know I'm the pessimist, whatever. How certain are you on that AD is primarily a 5 this year?
Out of 10.
And I'm not saying AD is primarily a 5 playing 51%. I'm talking about the vast majority of those minutes being a 5.
Out of 10.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead.
9.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm like,
he'll play minutes at the 4. He'll play minutes at the 4, but he'll be a starting center. And he'll play the most important minutes at the 5.
Oh, I totally agree that he's going to play the most important minutes, those ending, you know, end game lineups.
But he'll also start as the 5.
I guess my whole thing doesn't even necessarily come down to him starting at the 5. It's that is the percentage of his minutes. Is it going to be at the 4? Is it going to be at a 5? Last year he played, I think, somewhere around like 44% of being a 4 instead of a 5. I guess I just don't know how much I see him taking more minutes off of that.
So, the first year, though, he played almost 60% in the regular season as the 5. So, without the, without, obviously, Mike Gasol's not there, no JaVale McGee, Russell Westbrook, I think, is the biggest X factor added to this, which is why he's accepted to play at the 5.
Well, I think it's kind of why he has to play the 5,
right,
to be quite honest.
I feel like if he didn't want to, he would have, he'd be at the 4 anyway. I think he's accepted it too. And hearing the like stuff that he's like in the best shape he's ever been in for the Lakers, and you know, stuff like that, and hearing how excited Frank Vogel was about him and all that good stuff, I'm 9 out of 10. He's the Lakers center. And that makes the Lakers the most dangerous team in the NBA, bar none. Because no one's stopping AD at the 5.
I agree. I mean, that's why I've said it's the ultimate changeup. I would love to see it as the fastball. I guess, I know.
Have some faith, Clay.
I don't, though. I don't.
Be a man of faith, man.
I'm a man of faith. I am not a man of faith.
As Castellanos hits
a home run, it's 4-0 Reds right now.
Who died? Castellanos hit a home run.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was right before the Kyrie and the Bradley Beal stuff. Like,
all right. So then if AD is at the 5, it kind of frees up LeBron to be really wherever. I don't know if it really matters if he is the 3 or the 4, to be quite honest.
I think Ariza will guard 3s, mm-hmm. And LeBron will kind of just roam, depending on who's there.
Yeah, I think it really just matters on who is starting next to him. And probably the best idea would be to be Ariza, I mean, to be
100%.
Right. So that kind of solidifies then 5 guys. Obviously, Westbrook is going to be the starting point guard. There's no doubt about that. Right. And then if we have LeBron, AD, and Ariza, who's the 5th guy?
So I think it's one of 3, which I would think.
Okay.
I would say one of 4, even though I think I would put Ellington at the bottom of this list. The other 3 are Talen Horton-Tucker, Kent Bazemore, and Malik Monk. I know Malik will likely not start. There hasn't been any buzz about Malik Monk starting. I get that. I'm higher on Malik Monk than I think most Laker fans are. But if I had to whittle it down to the 2 I would do, is it what I would do or what I think is going to happen?
I mean, let's go with like our ideal lineups.
Bazemore, and I love Talen. I love Talen, and I think he's going to be a huge part of the team this year. But just from a fit and just kind of like a what this lineup is lacking standpoint, I think Bazemore makes the most sense as a 3-and-D guy. Now, if Talen is starting, he will be my second option there. And I would not be mad if Talen starts. I think he'd be a good addition. But I think Bazemore is the best fit just from a scheme defensively and just from a guy who can still knock down threes that are wide open. I think there's, if you look at his numbers, his wide open threes, he's really good at them. If there's a little bit of pressure, he isn't that good. But when you have Russ and LeBron and AD on the court together, he's going to have wide open threes. So I think I would go Bazemore personally. Wouldn't be opposed to THT, though.
No, I agree with you because I don't want – I want the, our shooting guard to actually be like a 3-and-D guy because that's the thing that they're lacking, right? Like, Ariza's a 3-and-D guy, but, like, he's obviously playing the 3. So, like, THT, I think he's going to be he's going to be really good. But the thing, the question mark that's with him has always been his shooting, right? So mm-hmm. unless he could prove that he could shoot, he could be a consistent shooter, it should really be Bazemore out there. And
which I totally agree with.
Clay has always liked Bazemore since like 2016, and you know there's reasons why.
Ever since he left the Lakers, pretty much.
Yeah, like yeah, he's a long-armed defender who could shoot. I mean, what's there not to like? He could be stupid sometimes on defense, but his reputation is that of a dog defender out there. You know what I mean? Who could shoot? So I hope he wins out because I really don't want to see Ellington be a starter. I really God no. You know what I mean? And the other four, perfect. I have no problems with Ariza being a starter at the 3. I have no problems with Bron being the 4, obviously, and AD at the 5. And Russ is obviously going to be the 1. So out of all those three guys, I feel like unless THT can prove that he's a consistent shooter and he's not going to be brain dead on like off the ball, like it has to be Bazemore, you know?
Alan?
I think it's going to be THT when it's all said and done.
Is that who you would want, like preferably? If it was your choice? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Talen, and with young players, I really, really believe in the fact that, especially in the regular season for us, like, I feel like we have a really high margin for error, right? Mm-hmm. And
regular season, 100%. Yeah, I think we do. Yeah,
like, a ridiculous margin of error, like, even more than what we had last year, just because I think Russ raises the floor that much in the regular season.
Like I said, Russ is one of the best regular season players ever. So I totally agree with that.
So I also hearing the way Frank just unprovoked brought up THC, that tells me, A, how much he is wanting to rely on Talen this year, and B, I think that while I understand Bazemore starting, and I wouldn't be mad at it in the slightest. Don't get me wrong. I'd be fine with it. I think Bazemore's a starter in this league. I really am. I just think that if you have Bazemore and Ariza starting, you have no defense coming off the bench. And that's where I'd be like, okay, we need to sort of like split this up because let's be real, like your four best defenders would all be starting. Like
I do think whoever of those two don't start is first off the bench, I think.
Yeah. I think them alongside Kendrick Nunn would be first off the bench.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Those two guys. So I'm really excited to see where this goes and with Talen, because Frank doesn't bring him up like that unprovoked unless he's like sure he's got like a surefire thing there. And we, us being the Talen Horton Tucker fan club here on Under the Bus,
of course,
we're all behind it.
Oh, yeah.
I also think that he has the temperament to be a starter in this league at such a young age on a championship winning team, and that makes a hell of a lot of a difference as well. And I'm confident that his shot's going to come around this year because you can see the progression from year one to year two. So now I think there'll be a jump from year two to year three.
And he's slimmed down significantly.
Oh, he looks phenomenal.
It's very like, noticeable.
I agree. I have like two different types of lineups. I have my ideal lineup and I think the likely lineup. I still obviously said that I think a big man starting is likely, whether it be DeAndre or Dwight, doesn't really matter. And then then it's hard of who else is starting. Because then, it's hard to, like, do a 1-2-3-4 of Russ, Ariza, LeBron, and AD, along with, obviously, Dwight.
Right.
That's a difficult one. That's why I pray that the ideal one is the likely one of what you guys are saying of AD at the five. It's just we have what, 8 years of AD saying he wants to play the four, he wants to be the four. So if that's the case, then what, Ariza off the bench, and then
I think Bazemore is the most likely. If for whatever reason DJ or Dwight starts at the five, I think it kind of has to be Bazemore.
I agree with that. So then my ideal lineup would be Westbrook, and then obviously Braun, AD, Ariza at the, you know, three through five. Then I think I'm with Allen. I think I want THT starting, because one, I want to play with those guys the most. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much or how well THT and Nunn will play together, to be quite honest. Because people are counting Nunn as kind of like the backup point guard. And I've seen it around. People say that he's going to be the backup point guard.
I've definitely seen that too. But yeah. I'm very interested.
He'll be backup point guard in name.
Yeah.
However, the backup point guard for this team is LeBron Raymond James Sr. Third string backup point guard on this team is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And then the alongside fourth is THT.
The fourth is THT.
And then the fourth is Phil Handy, just to play a game here or there.
Yeah.
Like, no one's running the point for the Lakers. Obviously, I'm not saying that Kendrick Nunn won't run plays. He will run plays. He's a guard. And that's a good thing that we have multiple guards at once, because we've not had it in years, right? Mm-hmm. Where we've had, like, multiple guards on the floor at the same time that can all run and initiate plays. And that's a really good thing for flexibility in the scheme. So I'm excited for that aspect. I think Kendrick Nunn's really good off ball. I think that alongside LeBron and Westbrook, I watched a lot of tape on Kendrick Nunn. His cutting is very, very good. He knows where to be on a basketball court. I think he'll eat with the Lake. I really, really...
He's my first trade chip.
Well, if he's your first trade chip, but he's averaging like 16 off the bench.
I don't think he's averaging 16 off the bench. I think the four top scorers will be LeBron, AD, and Westbrook in some order. I don't know if it really honestly matters.
They're the top three.
Yeah.
Right.
And then then THT.
I agree with that.
I think THT is the four scorer.
Yeah, even with me saying that I don't think THT starts, I think THT is somewhere from 13 to 15 a night.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel differently on Nunn, just in the sense that I've seen him. Like I said earlier, I think THT will get there as a shooter. Mm-hmm. I've just seen Kendrick Nunn be a really good shooter in the NBA. And with defenses collapsing on AD, LeBron, and Westbrook, I think Kendrick Nunn will absolutely feast on a team like that.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing in this guard rotation is actually, where does Malik Monk get his minutes? Because this is assuming, obviously, that Rondo's not playing. If you're starting, let's say you're starting THT, right? That means you have Monk, Nunn, and Bazemore off the bench. It's just going to be interesting how Frank uses that. I don't know. He might go super small and have Baze as a three.
I think they see Baze as a three.
Okay.
That's my feeling. And so when you look at the guard rotation, it's Russell Westbrook, Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker, who can also slide to the three. Obviously, LeBron will be the de facto point guard a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And then you have Malik Monk there. and then Wayne Ellington, in my opinion. That's the order it should go.
Yeah, and I really think Monk should get more playing time over Ellington. I think that's going to be the main thing in terms of rotation, of which of those two gets more minutes. I think initially it could be Ellington. We've seen Frank's first year with the Lakers. If you look at that opening day lineup against the Clippers, Quinn Cook got minutes. Troy Daniels got minutes. Jared Dudley got minutes. Caruso didn't play a minute. So I think
Caruso was also hurt.
No, he was a DMPCD. He played the next game.
I'm pretty sure in the preseason he had gotten hurt.
He might have, but I remember he played. He started him like the third quarter against the Jazz, the very next game, and Caruso was really good in that opening game. Obviously, I mean we know why, but he wasn't listed on the injury report that game, if I remember correctly. But that's beside the point. I think there's a chance Monk doesn't play in the first handful of games of the season. I think we could see Ellington play a decent amount of minutes to start. But it's just going to be interesting to see if and when Frank does sort of give Monk that run to see if he can overtake Ellington in that spot. I think he could. I am a very big believer in Malik, and I think he could end up even getting minutes over Nunn. If he can do what I think he can do. But I think that's my biggest thing coming into the season. I think that's my biggest focus, just because I believe in AD starting at the five and Rondo not playing as much. So I think my main focus is going to be, what is Malik Monk going to do for this team?
How lead of a shooter do we, or how good of a shooter do we think Kendrick Nunn is?
I think
he's really good. I don't think he's elite.
So,
I think he's
really good. Comparing to the guards that we would have, I think he'd be the third best shooter behind Ellington and Monk, personally. Just because I think Monk is a better pure shooter, and he can get it in a whole bunch of different ways shooting wise than Nunn can.
Nunn is rookie year 35%, and this year was 38%. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Malik Monk obviously started his career off rough, and then honestly before last year, where he had pretty much a career year. The year before, not so good.
I still can't believe Charlotte let him go.
Yeah, me too. Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense because they did draft James Bouknight.
Yeah, but still, like, for the price point, I think it's a no-brainer.
No, I agree with that. I don't think they should have done. Even with Bouknight, I think they could play together.
They should have just extended a qualifying offer. Sign a one-year deal.
What was his QO? That's a question.
Seven. Especially when they lost Devontae Graham, too, to the Pelicans.
That's what I'm saying. $7 million is not a lot for a guy like Malik Monk. At 2.7, it's a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, like, what people think of Nunn, I think of Malik Monk.
Especially as a shooter. I think Monk can get it really in a lot of different ways shooting the ball. And he, at least last year, he succeeded with being contested. That was when he was at his best. And I think that was when he was at his best in Kentucky as well.
Yeah. I've never been the biggest Malik Monk fan. Like, I remember when he was drafted and we had Kolzwicker on and everything, and he said, like, this is a shooter that he trusts. And I said, I want to take him lottery. And he went, what, 10? Or something like
that?
He went
10. Yeah, he was a guy I had in my top five. I think Cole did as well.
I remember. I think that is what everyone is saying that Nunn is. I think that's what Monk really is. Last year, Nunn in the corners, 31.7%, so essentially 32%. And then last year in the corners, Monk in the corner. I had it just a second ago. Sorry. Great talking. I know right now. And of course,
it had to be absurd.
The
Lakers.
Who?
There's only going to be one guy who's spotting up in the corners.
It should be Carmelo.
It's Melo.
Yeah.
It's 100%.
It should be Carmelo.
Melo in the corners. Yeah. 57.6% in the corners for Monk.
Yeah, and I keep harping on it. I don't even think he needs to be a corner shooter. run him off screens. He can do it off the dribble too.
Sorry to interrupt, but all three of those guys mentioned, Ellington, Monk, and Nunn, they add something that our shooters in previous years haven't had, is where they can all come off dribble.
Yeah,
they can come off screens. They can, in the case of Monk and Nunn, they can create their own shot as well. Mm-hmm. And that adds a completely different dynamic to the offense where you're like, okay, if I'm Westbrook and LeBron, I can throw it to these guys and be like, you know what? If you need to take a shot, if you need to create one, I trust you to do it. Whereas like in previous years, what you were throwing it to Kyle Kuzma or, you know, God love him, Avery Bradley or Wes Matthews or, you know, like, you know.
I'm gonna stop right.
Yeah, I heard that. I think an underreported thing with Monk too, I think he has passing upside. I think he has some upside as a playmaker because he's made some pretty difficult passes last year on the move. Not saying he's going to be LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, or whatever, but I think in a pinch on a side pick and roll or whatever, I think he can make he can execute a pretty solid dump off pass to a Dwight Howard, to an Anthony Davis, to a DeAndre Jordan or whatever. I think he has that in him. I think at the end of the year, I think he could be the third guard that we trust. Third guard, if you consider Bazemore a wing. If you consider him a three, I think he can be our third guard and one of the first guys that comes off the bench for this squad. That's like his upside, I think, for this team.
On a side note, how we have brought up Mello in the corner, and I just honestly had totally forgotten that he was even a Laker. And I swear to God, if he does anything else other than take threes in a corner, I'm going to be slamming my head against the table.
I just need to see this. That's all I need to see. Just three to the dome, please. All I need to see, Mello. Just give me three to the dome.
Being devil's advocate, I will take two stupid pull-up twos a game if he shoots six threes.
Oh, no. I totally agree with that. I'm saying if he takes six jump pull-up twos instead of two corner threes.
Especially if those twos are end of the clock sort of BS shots, I'm completely fine with that.
Mello is one of my – he's such a conundrum. He's seriously one of my favorite players ever. I have loved
him. And he's a good human being as well.
Yeah. I've always loved Mello. I've never wanted Mello on my team except when he was first in Denver. And obviously the first year or two in New York.
Man, that first year in New York was something. It really was. I always remember that game against the Bulls where he had like two insane pull-up threes in like a fourth quarter and an overtime.
Yeah.
Just absurd. He's one of the most best pure scorers I've ever seen. NBA career.
I think people have forgotten just how good Carmelo Anthony is as a pure scorer.
We talk so much about LeBron being in year 19. Melo is in year 19 as well. Oh, yeah. Like,
and he was out of the league. He was out of the league for a year, too.
Yeah, well, was he out of the league or was he just – he signed late?
No, he was – I guess technically he signed, like, after the All-Star break. Yeah. It was like he was out of the league for, like, two-thirds of the year. Pretty much.
I'm gonna be 100% sure on that and make
until he signed with Portland 2 years ago.
Ah, you're right. Because everyone was like, if you can't do it with, was it Houston or OKC?
Houston.
They're like, yeah, then he can't. Then he definitely can't do it. Like,
I think they cut him, and then he didn't play the rest of that year, and then they didn't, and then the Trailblazers signed him like in the middle of the next year, if I remember correctly.
Of course.
But I'm not 100% sure on that. But either way, Mello is going to be an interesting one to sort of
I think you actually have it backwards. I think it was actually the Houston one because he only played 10 games for Houston, which
Did he get cut that year and then they signed him the same year?
OKC, he played 78 games with OKC. They might have bought him out, and then he went to Houston, and yeah, he only played 10 games. I don't remember if he was hurt or not. But yeah, only 10 games, and then 58 and 69 the last 2 years. Nice.
So remember, when he was on the Thunder, they traded him to the Hawks, remember? And then he got bought out from the Hawks during that offseason.
Yeah.
So then he signed for Houston.
Right.
And then in February, he was in January, he was traded from the Rockets to the Bulls, and the Bulls waived him.
Right.
And then until November 2019, he wasn't signed. Yeah. So he basically signed like 10 games into the 2019-20 season.
It was that much. I don't know why I remember it being later, but it was like he got cut the season before, and then he got picked up the next season, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
But anyways, it's also year 19 for him. And he has not looked amazing with Portland, but if he just shoots the corner three, I mean, last year on 4.7.
Just any three.
Yeah,
from top of the.
Yeah, 41%. Yeah. Just take a three, Melo. Like, I'll as Merch said, all I want to see is a three to the dome, and that's it. Yeah. That's all I want.
Do you know who should be the inspiration for Carmelo Anthony? Ray Allen.
Man.
Yep.
If he just play like Ray Allen.
Yep, just run to the corner. Yep.
It's unplayable.
Mm-hmm. Side note, before I move on, what do you think the best combination for Melo is? Like, who should he be playing with? At the five? So LeBron, like, you don't think like a Dwight at the five and like LeBron and Russ sort of thing? Or
I really like the spacing where if you have LeBron and AD around him to hide his defensive deficiencies, and then you have a guy like a Kent Bazemore, a 3-and-D mm-hmm. guy, and then I don't know, hypothetically you can put out a Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Or Malik Monk alongside those guys. I think that's where you maximize Melo, and that's where you could see a lot of Melo's minutes as well, right? Like, you could see those types of lineups, especially when Russ is sitting in the second quarter. And I'm really excited to see Melo because I, as an interior defender, so playing post defense, he's not been terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
It's kind of James Harden-y.
Yeah.
In the posts.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be shocked that when Melo plays against fours, he does a really good job on them. Because he's really smart. And I always thought he was a defensive liability, was a stupid debate in his prime anyway. I always thought he was decent on defense.
Especially with Vogel, I think he's going to get placed in the right spots where no one just – he's going to be on whoever the worst player on the court is for their team most of the
time. And also, the biggest thing for me is the culture shift with all these guys that we've brought in is ridiculous. Like, you're already hearing them talk, and I'm like, yeah, they're all for the team. Like, I don't even have to question it. And I love
Melo's been on a media run recently, promoting his book, and he's been he had something about LeBron recruiting him. I forgot what exactly he said.
LeBron being the GM, that was a little like, no. We know. LeBron.
Yeah, I feel like Melo was having fun there.
I'd have to hear it.
Because if you watch the whole interview, it seems like a very chilled, laid back Melo where he's not really thinking about.
Was he? Was it on like All the Smoke or something?
It was something. It wasn't All the Smoke, but it was a very similar setting to that.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm very much in the case of like he just said that because he was having fun, not because it's like
being serious.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll run with anything. Especially tomorrow, there's gonna be a lot of running with the quotes that we'll see tomorrow. I guarantee it.
I'm hyped for tomorrow, man.
The last thing I want to say about the rotation, I think the thing that I'm going to be interested in the most as well is who comes out when it comes to the three stars. Because when it came to the last 2 years, there was always a pretty much set that LeBron came out around like the 5-6 minute mark. AD played the whole first quarter. And then LeBron played for the first, like, 6 minutes with a bench, and then he came out, and then he came back in around the three-minute mark to close out.
I don't want AD playing 12 straight minutes, especially if he's starting at the five.
Yeah,
I didn't like that last year.
I think him and LeBron will come out first. I think it'll be like Dwight and like Malik or Kendrick Nunn or whatever come in for LeBron and AD, and then Russ will run with like THT and Dwight and Kendrick Nunn.
Take out whatever. LeBron at like the 6 minute mark. Take AD out at the 9 minute mark, and or you can fluctuate with this, obviously.
You might even put LeBron back in when AD comes out, have LeBron finish out that quarter, and then have him sit the first 6-7 minutes of the next quarter.
Yeah, I mean, well, you don't want to get too overly complicated with everything, obviously,
Right.
But I'm expecting LeBron to play 32 minutes. So 16 minutes a half. So got to try and figure that out. So, I don't know. I don't want to really leave AD out by himself.
No, I think it's more likely that Russ plays the first 12.
And yeah, I don't really even like playing Russ all 12, but you kind of got to do it, I guess. And if that's the case, you take LeBron out like the 8 minute mark and then the 10 minute mark for AD, and then you keep going from there. And then just put like all the shooters and Dwight around Russ.
Yeah, and then just run LeBron and AD with the rest of the bench, in that second quarter.
Yeah, I agree. Who's okay? We pretty much talked about all of that stuff. So.
Yeah,
I want to know, there's 14 men on the roster. We all agree that Austin Reeves is likely the guy sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say, not dressing out.
I don't even think he'll be with the team. I think he'll be with the G
League. He'll be in El Segundo with the G League team most of the year.
Probably. I wish it wasn't him, to be quite honest. But
I think it's better for him, though.
I do.
I want him to play as much as he can with the G League. I totally agree with that. I also
let him go full THT with that roster.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. That South Bay Lakers squad could really be something of.
Oh yeah, with AI and Cam Oliver.
Oh yeah, 1-2-3 of Reeves just essentially playing the point. Just as long as what's his name is not there from Summer League.
Justin Robinson.
Yeah, don't. I don't want him on the continent.
No, please no.
To be quite
he honest. Was pretty much the point guard, and he shot a lot. No, please. I'd rather have McClung. I'd rather McClung be the point guard than Robinson. Yeah.
I know he was trying to get his to, eventually get his, but, oh, God, no. I would – 1-2-3 of – Reeves, Ayayi, and Shondi Brown. That's fun right there. And then
forgot about Shondi. Jesus.
Honestly, with the 4 and 5, I don't give a crap.
Just put Trevlin Queen in there somewhere. And then just whoever the hell you have as a five. It'll probably be Cam Oliver, is my guess.
Give us Andre Ingram, 6 months of the year, 2021.
if that dude hasn't retired yet, I don't come on.
Man.
Okay, dude.
Low-key, I was so happy for him when he got his NBA.
Oh, game. No.
I remember that game so vividly. I remember him hitting those, three three-pointers or whatever he did when the crowd went crazy.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's something he'll never – it was in the Mamba jerseys as well.
Yeah, and I remember that game, too. They played the Rockets. It has nothing to do with Andre Ingram, but I remember Chris Paul, breaking Zubac's ankles so bad in that game, where he did the whole between his legs sort of fake out thing in between of Zubac's legs. It was, I remember that one moment for whatever reason, but I also remember Andre Ingram having 19 points as well.
All right. I think that's everything on our outline. I don't want to ramble too much like we do. I know that we've already gone a little bit longer than we wanted originally, but not too bad. So any final thoughts from you? First off, Alan?
Please get vaccinated.
Wash your legs.
Wash your legs.
Kent Bazemore was right to slander back Bradley Beal.
Yeah, man, I remember that whole thing. I remember being really mad at Kent Bazemore. But
yeah. Who
Who would have thought that Kemp Bazemore was on the right side of history 8 months ago? Eh? Oh,
right. MAGA Chance the Rapper was actually in the right this time.
Hey, hey. He creates better music than Chance the Rapper, though.
I don't disagree with that at this point.
Poor Nelson.
Oh, boy.
As always, guys, a total pleasure. Thanks for letting me ramble at the start of the podcast. I appreciate that. I needed that venting. This was a lot of fun, and I cannot wait for Media Day tomorrow. I think it's going to be really, really exciting.
It's going to be difficult being a teacher tomorrow. I'm going to say that.
Are they the only team that has Media Day, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lakers always want to be different. They want to be
the later. NBA organized it. It wasn't us.
Oh, well. Never mind then.
They know the cash cow.
They know the cash cow. It's not the one up in Santa Ana.
No, definitely it's, not.
Or the team that can't fill out their $1 billion arena in the Barclays Center.
Right. The team that's older than the Lakers on average, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that.
FYI, you can find courtside seats for the Brooklyn Nets for like $400.
Wow,
that's ridiculous. You can't find courtside seats on the Lakers for like what, $4,000?
Guess who's making a trip to America to watch a Brooklyn Nets game?
Oh, that's great.
Listen, go big or go home.
If you come to America and you don't come to California, I'm gonna hunt you down. just saying, I'm gonna hunt you down, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to punch you. That's what I'm going to do. I'll find you on the streets of whatever town you're in England, and just bop you on the back of the head. Be like, you motherfucker, I told you, if you come to America, you're supposed to come see me. But if not, if you do come and see me, though, all will be forgiven. I'm just saying. All right, Merch, do you have anything that you want to add?
No, just the Lakers playing 5 days. Crazy, man. And it's at like 12:30 PST, which is weird.
Good for Allen. Good for Allen.
Yeah, I guess to sleep at a reasonable time.
Allen gets a nighttime game for the first time. Or like actual nighttime game.
To be fair, I hate the 12:30 games.
Oh, yeah.
Just only in general. Something bad always happens in 12:30 games.
Yeah.
Right. Apart from when we were tanking and we beat the Golden State Warriors that one time.
Never forget.
Oh my god, that was incredible.
Yeah. But yeah, we played the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. Kyrie-less. The Kyrie-less Brooklyn Nets. It's just going to be fun to actually see these guys back out on the court. I doubt LeBron and AD play more than a quarter, which makes sense. And Russ.
They probably play one rotation and that's it.
They might, which I'm fine with. I really want to see a lot of the guys who are on the bench. I really want to see how they look. So I'm fine with that.
Would you be surprised if Brooklyn intentionally played like KD and stuff like an entire half to beat the Lakers?
Oh, KD and Harden are definitely playing a half.
Oh man.
But yeah, I mean, season starting up so soon. When is opening night? I don't know when exactly.
The 19th of December.
October, yeah. It could have been December. We honestly could never know at this point. But we're almost to the beginning of the actual season with this crazy-ass roster that we have that we've totally revamped. So it's going to be a lot of fun sifting through a lot of these guys and seeing how they look in the preseason and then ultimately in the regular season. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I just hope my pessimism is off base. That's all.
It is.
Honestly, if AD starts, you're gonna have some sort of pessimism still.
Probably. That's just my nature. But I don't know. All right. We'll go ahead and send you guys off. First off, Alan Ramage, 03 on Twitter. Merge. Oh my goodness.
Who cares?
1998.
Who cares?
That's what it is. You can find all three of us at the Direct Snap podcast. We talk about football. We need Alan back, hopefully here soon, so then we can talk about his Seahawks, because we have some stuff to talk about between him and me with Casey.
I wasn't shocked.
Yeah. But also, don't forget everything that Alan does. The Lakers Side Chats, the Blipped In podcast.
Coming back soon, I'm assuming.
Yes, coming back.
We're recording tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Glad to have Alan.
I organized a podcast today and then completely whiffed that it was media day tomorrow. So I was like, sorry, guys, rain check.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, Alan is fantastic. And don't forget the 19 Media Group when it comes to all of his podcasts and our podcast with the Direct Snap. Yeah, you can find me at Lakers1949. Clayton Horton Tucker is the name. Just
Clayton Horton Tucker. Haven't changed it since that preseason game.
I know. I'm gonna have to eventually change everything.
No, never ever change the THT name.
No. All right. Thank you all for listening. Make sure that you rate and review. You can find us pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you all for listening. Go get vaccinated. Don't be dumb.
Wash your legs.
That's the most important thing, probably. Wash those legs. All right. Bye, y'all.
See ya.